of another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is P. Fitz, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from current issues of the Dunkirk Observer on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. County worker charged in theft of benefits. A Jamestown woman who is a Chautauqua County employee is facing numerous charges after allegedly stealing benefits from some of the clients she serves. It was announced Wednesday that a 23-count indictment has been handed down by Chautauqua County grand jury against 38-year-old Amber Tibbetts. Tibbetts works in the South County office building and is a clerk in the Department of Social Services. It is alleged Tibbetts used existing social service clients' information to issue benefit cards directly to herself. The investigation was initiated after two of the victims contacted social services to report suspicious activity on their benefits card. Tibbetts has been charged with 6 counts of first-degree tampering with public records, 4 counts of second-degree forgery, 6 counts of second-degree identity theft, 3 counts of petty larceny, and 1 count of fourth-degree corrupting the government. She has pleaded not guilty and has been released on her own recognizance as per state bail laws. A second county employee was also charged with 1 count of fifth-degree welfare fraud. That person has not been identified. County officials said the individual is a senior caseworker. That case is being handled in local court. The arrests were announced during a news conference Wednesday attended by County Executive P.J. Wendell, County Mental Hygiene Services Director Carmelo Hernandez, and First Assistant District Attorney Tom Rankin. Wendell began the news conference apologizing to the public. "I want to say I'm sorry to the residents of Chautauqua County. I'm sorry that this involved our own employees, and I am sorry that this event took place," he said. Even though it is alleged that an employee stole money intended for those who need assistance, Wendell called the public to trust that justice will prevail. "Do not lose faith in the system nor in the county government and the county system," he said. Wendell said there is a program called the Program Integrity Unit, which was used to arrest the two employees. He also said that the Program Integrity Unit has been used many times over the last 5 years, mostly to arrest individuals who steal other individuals' benefits, he said. "This is one of the first times the program has been used against an employee." According to Wendell, from 2020 to 2025, the Program Integrity Unit has discovered $7.4 million worth of fraud cases. That means they found situations where $7.4 million of New York State taxpayer dollars were used fraudulently and inappropriately, he said. At least some of those stolen funds have been recovered, including funds allegedly stolen by Tibbetts. Hernandez said, typically the Program Integrity Unit is contacted after a client says his or her benefits did not come or in or some other individual suspect's fraud. They'll start tracking where where those monies went and were spent and who had access to them. Rankin said he wants to protect the integrity of the case, so he was limited in what he was willing to share. He said the two individuals were both employed at South County Office Building in Jamestown. When asked how much money was stolen, Rankin replied, "I'm reluctant to give you a specific amount, but I can say she's been charged with felonies for a reason." Rankin also declined to indicate what type of sentencing Tibbetts could face if found guilty, saying there's a lot of factors, including if any sentencing could be consecutive or concurrent. Wendell stated that the investigation is continuing and they will continue to make arrests on this case and or others of anyone who steals benefits from the county residents. According to seethroughnewyork.net, Tibbetts has worked for the county since 2022. Wendell said she no longer has access to county offices, but did note that she is innocent until proven guilty. Anyone who suspects fraud of benefits is asked to call 1-800-388-5365 or contact the Program Integrity Unit on the county website. United Way annual meeting focuses on impact. The impact made by United Way of Chautauqua County was discussed and on display in print during the organization's recent annual meeting held last month at the Moonbrook Country Club. While at the time, a time for donors, board members, community partners, and volunteers to gather in support of the Chautauqua County United Way and review the organization's 2025-26 annual report. During the meeting, United Way membership elected Amy Pembridge, Deborah Sunya Moore, and Linda Voltman Swanson to 3-year terms on the board of directors. Members also re-elected Ivory Brooks, James Kama, Christopher Colburn, Jason Duchard, Carol Kay, and Kyle Likem to new 3-year terms. Last year, the United Way funded programs impacted the lives of local individuals 63,249 times. Through investment in local nonprofit programs and United Way initiatives, the organization continues to advance impact in the areas of youth opportunity, health equity, community resiliency, and self-sufficiency throughout Chautauqua County. Also during each year's annual meeting, they debuted its campaign video for upcoming fundraising, in addition receiving the first look at the new campaign video. Attendees also learned that this year's campaign chairs will be Dave Matamowski and Danielle Patty. The annual fundraising campaign, which launches this year, provides the resources that make United Way's community investments and local impact possible. Each year, our annual meeting reminds us that change happens here in Chautauqua County because the people of all its communities choose to invest in measurable impact, said Amy Roller, UWCHQ Executive Director. We're grateful for everyone who helps make that impact possible and excited to continue building a stronger future together. I About United Way of Chautauqua County, United Way of Chautauqua County mobilizes the community to help every person and family improve their lives. For more than 100 years, United Way has been a trusted nonprofit locally and pillar of strengthening the systems families rely on, expanding solutions that create a lasting change. State sues Bemis Point Veterans Charity. Testimony from two former members of Healing for Heroes are among the exhibits entered into evidence by the State Attorney General's office in an attempt to close the charity. Joshua Larson and Lisa Borby both filed affidavits in the case. Attorney General Letitia James filed court action Wednesday in State Supreme Court in Erie County, accusing the organization of defrauding donors and running a scheme to enrich its leadership and associates while claiming to help veterans. Healing for Heroes billed itself as an outdoor retreat for disabled veterans, but since 2024, its founding year, the organization has only hosted four retreats, all of which served only board members and their friends and family, essentially using the charity to fund their own vacations. An investigation by Office of Attorney General found that the owners of Healing for Heroes, 30-acre property, Board President Thomas Nelson and Jennifer Nelson, Board Secretary and Treasurer, rented out the property as an Airbnb on at least 32 different occasions in 2024 and 25, claiming all proceeds would go to their charity. Instead, the couple allegedly kept $33,312 proceeds from the rentals for themselves. The Attorney General... The Attorney General's office investigation also found that almost half of the nearly $100,000 donated to the organization was spent on property maintenance and improvements such as a bathroom renovation, a new deck for the property, as well as personal shopping, meals, vehicle repair, and gas expenses for board members. James is seeking a court order to dissolve the organization and distribute the assets to the charities that actually honor Healing for Heroes' stated mission. James is also asking the court to bar the Nelsons from soliciting money or serving in the leadership positions for any other New York-based charities. James also seeks the court to recoup damages from the Nelsons and impose civil penalties for violations of the Fair Business Practices Act. Our veterans have sacrificed so much for our country, and they deserve real supportive services when they return to civilian life. Healing Heroes exploited veteran service and betrayed the trust of their donors, including local community members, veterans organizations, and businesses, to enrich themselves and their friends. My office has no tolerance for charities that use noble causes to scam New Yorkers out of their hard-earned money. If you would like to hear the remainder of this article, please contact Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service at 716-821-5555, and someone will gladly read the rest of the article to you. Subpar renewables, jolts electric costs. Long before wind turbines and solar panels began engulfing upstate in the southern tier, New York had a healthy power supply. It was built upon generating stations that were near the shores of Lake Erie and the New York Power Authority based in Niagara Falls that produces renewable hydropower. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from Dunkirk Observer on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Once clean-burning coal plants were shuttered in 2015, including the former NRG Energy site in Dunkirk, there came some celebration from those rightly concerned about the environment. From the 50s to the late 70s, Lake Erie became a toxic dumping site for manufacturing entities. More than four decades later, there is unquestionable improvement. As the Lake Erie Foundation notes on its website, because of phosphorus reductions during the 80s, our lake became much more clear and clean. Fish flourished, and Lake Erie became known as the walleye capital of the world. Tourists once again flocked to the Lake Erie. It became the greatest ecosystem recovery in the world. Bodies of water will forever face challenges, even if the power stations are not operating. The most recent Lake Erie concerns are algal blooms that are found in shallower sections of the Western Basin in Ohio, as well as growing PFOs, that run rampant. This has led to an advisory by New York State Health Department for residents to decrease fish consumption. Other troubled waters at home can be found in the rising cost of electricity. This is tied to an over-reliance on the renewable energy. Excuse me. Those resources, barely a blip currently in the energy mix on the New York Independent Operator System in New York State. On Wednesday afternoon, during a cloudy spell over Chautauqua County, wind and solar was contributing 4% to the grid. Hydropower was 18%, and fossil fuels, natural gas, and nuclear making up 78%. Even after a 10-year push, wind and solar contributions often remain invisible when it comes to generating power on the state grid. Even if towering turbines are in your face while viewing the hills of Arkwright and Charlotte. By shutting down reliable power plants a decade ago, New York forced itself out of producing power to importing it. That means we rely on neighboring states and in some instances Canada to keep the lights on. That also comes at a greater cost that shows no sign of slowing. Granted, we're not on an island like Hawaii that pays 52 cents per kilowatt hour, but the cost to residential consumers here, the cost to residential consumers here is near the top in the nation at 29.93 cents per kilowatt hour. Third highest in the nation is not where New York should want to be on the electricity prices, said Sylvanus Salinas, president of the Empire Center. If this is affordability, New Yorkers cannot afford it. It's typically, in typical Albany fashion, more money is coming from the state coffers, your tax dollars, to help residents with the skyrocketing electric bill costs. In May, state leaders agreed to handing out $1 billion in one-time energy rebates for users. four joint filers earning less than $150,000. They will receive a check for $200 between September and January. Single filers earning less than $150,000 are in line for $100. Albany response to the spiking power prices. Dangerous policies coming out of Washington have sent the cost of power skyrocketing, and New Yorkers need relief. Governor Kathy Hochul said in announcing the rebates. There's plenty of reason for doubt in the proclamation. New York prices rose 12% from a year earlier, twice the rate of increase for the U.S. average. Its prices are also 62% higher than the national average, nearly double Florida, and more than 80% higher than Texas, the Empire Center noted. Neighboring Pennsylvania, in the meantime, could learn from New York's recent mistakes, currently paying 23.27 cents per hour kilowatt hour. The Commonwealth is pushing for more renewables as well. Again, if you would like to hear the remainder of this article, please contact the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service at 716-821-5555, and someone will gladly read the article for you. County hears about economics of aging. There are more older adults that live in Chautauqua County by percentage than in New York State or the United States, and providing care will only get more difficult and expensive as that percentage increases. That was one of the many points made by Chautauqua County Office for Aging Services Director Dana Corwin during a recent, excuse me, Corwin cited statistics that show in Chautauqua County, 21% of the residents are 65 and older. Statewide, it's 17%. Nationwide, it's 16% of residents are 65 and older. Corwin also shared that the State Office for Aging is projecting Chautauqua County's population to maintain while the overall population is expected to drop. She said there are projections that in the next 20 years, Chautauqua County's older adults will make up between 30 and 32% of the population. We know that the tax base is reducing in the number of people living in the county, and our older adults are increasing. That becomes a problematic situation. And how do we do the work with our older adults to really buoy them in the community? Corwin said. Excuse me. In terms of home ownership, Corwin said, Chautauqua County, 79% of those 60 and older own their own homes. Of that total, 67% don't have a mortgage. But services for older adults in Chautauqua County are not plentiful, which is one of the reasons why there's a rush to keep people in their homes and in their communities. In the last few years, nursing homes and assisted living facilities have closed. According to my count, we have four long-term care or skilled nursing facilities. We have 290 beds in the south and 256 beds in the north. That's pretty decent, actually, when you look at other rural communities. As far as assisted living, we have a total of 486 beds in the South County, but only 141 in the North. Combined, there are only 1,200 beds in nursing and assisted living facilities, with about 30. Now, will they all need care at the same time? I hope not. But we do need to know that we have a continuum of care between what happens when there's an accident, an illness, and exacerbation where they need a higher level of care. They can then coalesce between the different levels and then ultimately land back at home, she said. To help keep the adults in their homes, Corwin noted that they offer essentially housekeeping assistance called personal care support level one. Those adults can dress and bathe themselves, but need help with cleaning, meal prep, grocery shopping, laundry, etc. It's really important that to think about this, because of if someone can't manage their environment, they will have to be. Oh, this article got messed up in the printing. I'm sorry. Okay. Corwin also talked about various levels of home care that are available, personal care, meals on wheels, adult daycare centers, etc. You know, so there are plenty of services out there at the present. She said programs the county can provide to keep people in the community and out of assisted living is a benefit to all. Those higher levels of care can be quite expensive, and older adults may need to spend down their assets, and then they end up on Medicaid. We've all heard a lot about the cost of Medicaid in New York State. So this is still a little example. To break down the cost, Corwin said nationally a typical assisted living facility is $4,500. Typical nursing home will cost nearly $12,000 a month. Those costs are often higher in New York State, including Western New York. But the average cost of a typical office for the aging client who receives 10 hours a week of services, 10 meals a week, and an emergency alert is around $1,500 a month. You can see what we're doing is cost diversion in keeping people in the community, Corwin said. Settlement secures Job Corps future in the U.S. The future, excuse me, terribly sorry for this. The future of Job Corps, including the site in Chautauqua County, Job Corps, appears to be secure going forward. In a settlement agreement filed Monday, August 10th, in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia in Cabrera versus Department of Labor, the Trump administration agreed to rescind its efforts to shutter 99 Job Corps centers nationwide. On May 30th, 2025, the U.S. Department of Labor announced that it was pausing Job Corps center operations at contractor-operated Job Corps centers nationwide, which included Casadega Job Corps, which sits on the Glasgow Road just outside the village. Following that announcement, there were numbers of lawsuits filed, including Cabrera versus Department of Labor. Less than a week later, the U.S. District Judge Andrew Carter in Manhattan issued a temporary restraining order, which ordered the government not to terminate Job Corps contractors or stop work at Job Corps centers until further ruling in the case. Later, the district court granted motion to stay the Department of Labor's distinctive directive to close all the privately operated Job Corps centers, finding that the directive likely violated provisions of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Some local officials, including County Executive P.J. Wendell, expressed support for the program. The Chautauqua County Legislature also passed a motion in support of Job Corps. There was also a rally held in Stockton. On a federal level, both New York Senators Schumer and Gillibrand expressed their commitment to the program. In August of 2025, Schumer came to Chautauqua County, where he met with some current and former Job Corps students. So there's been a progression of things leading up to the Cassidy Job Corps opened in August of 1978, offers training in carpentry, electrical, painting, plumbing, certified nursing assistant program, advanced training license, practical nurse, and security office guard certification. So it's really great program, and glad that it's back. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Dunkirk Observer on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Democrats disagree over abolishing or reforming ICE at DNC meeting. Austin, Texas. Democrats on Saturday approved dueling messages on whether U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement should be abolished or reformed, reflecting sharp opposition to President Donald Trump's crackdown, but revealing disagreement in the party ahead of the midterms. The Democratic National Committee gathered for a summer meeting, also signed off on a raft of policy positions, including one that calls for concrete reforms of ICE, and another for abolishing the agency that's been at the center of several fatal encounters. ICE has been at the heart of the progressive rallying cry since 2018, during the first Trump administration, and has been renewed among some in the party after two recent fatal shootings by the agency in July. Saturday's vote isn't binding and doesn't set the party's platform, which will be determined at the 2028 convention, but it reflects the party's differing views on a major issue. Candidates and lawmakers will continue to determine their own positions on the issue. Michael Johnson, a DNC member from Louisiana who proposed the measure to abolish ICE, said it's time for Democrats to make a stand and pointed to the dissolution of ICE's predecessor agency, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, as a precedent. I think one of the reasons why people are not trusting the party is because we sound so academic, she said. We found focus group tested. We sound poll tested because we're worried about saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing and not just like stand on business, like take a position. Not every DNC member was convinced, though. Yvonne Reeves-Chong voted against the measure, saying it would only again gain support from a part of the party's base while drawing fire from another group of voters. I would strongly suggest we get to the business of winning races so we can make the policies that make the difference, she said. DNC Chairman Ken Martin, who's from Minnesota, where Renee Good and Alex Preddy were fatally shot amid immigration crackdown earlier this year, said in an interview that the Democrats' takeaway is that Democrats find the administration's handling of immigration, including U.S. Customs and Border Protection, unacceptable. Clearly, The one thing that unites Democrats, regardless of their position on reform versus abolish or whatever other ways to change what's happening, is that people believe that what ICE is doing right now and CBP and the federal government should stop. There has to be a better way. Immigration remained a strong issue for Trump, stronger issue for Trump than the economy or Iran, according to the poll by the Associated Press and NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, which released this month, even after three people were killed in encounters with Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the span of under a week in July. Traffic stop leads to drug weapons charges in the city. A 25-year-old woman who was stopped on a traffic violation in the city of Dunkirk facing weapons and drug charges. Around 6:30 p.m. Saturday, Dunkirk Police Department officers stopped a vehicle. The operator, Christopher D. Rosato, had a valid arrest warrant. While being taken into custody, a loaded pistol was recovered after a vehicle search. A total of 3.8 grams of cocaine, packaging material in a scale was recovered. Rosado was transported to Dunkirk Police Headquarters and held for arraignment. He was being charged with second-degree criminal possession of a weapon, third-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance, third-degree aggravated unlicensed operator, and other traffic tickets. A woman charged in assault on Jamestown officer. A 33-year-old Pennsylvania woman is facing second-degree assault charges after striking a Jamestown police officer. Jamestown police report, Eve A. Yeh, 33, was additionally charged with obstructing governmental administration and resisting arrest. At approximately 2:34 a.m. Sunday, officers responded to the area of downtown for an unwanted female. The female, Yeh, was attempting to hit the windows of a business with a large rock. When officers attempted to intervene, Yeh failed to comply with the lawful commands. Yeh was then placed in custody, at which point she resisted arrest and assaulted an officer. Yeh was transported to Jamestown Jail, where she was held pending arraignment. Vital economic vine. Schumer Gillibrand seek relief for county's grape farmers. Portland. U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer came to Chautauqua County on Monday to take a stand with local grape farmers after they were dealt what he called a heartless and cruel blow from the major beverage producer who pulled its support earlier this year. Refresco canceled contracts with more than 120 farmers across New York and Pennsylvania after they had already invested in preparing their vineyards for this season. In an attempt to right the wrong and support local grape farmers, Schumer is calling on the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, to purchase the excess grapes from local farmers who were counting on the contracts they had in place with Refresco. I will do everything in my power to support our farmers, Schumer said. The brutal, sudden, nasty cutting cut off by this company, Refresco, must not be allowed to reduce our Great Concord grape growing industry here along the shores of Lake Erie. Schumer explained to the dozens of farmers and advocates in attendance that the USDA has the power to purchase the products for nutrition programs, such as school lunches, with the utilization of Section 32 funds. Section 32 funds are provided by Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1933 and used by the USDA to purchase agricultural products, which are in turn used for nutrition programs. These bonus buys have been used by the USDA in the past to stabilize agricultural markets, support communities, and deliver nutritious food to those who need it. A year ago, Schumer helped stabilize prices through a similar ask through utilization of Section 32 funds, and with the cancellation of the contract with Refresco, the need for help from the USDA is even more significant this year. This area that grows Concord grapes is a jewel for all of America. We must fight to preserve it, Schumer said. He further stated that a variety of factors, including the canceled contracts with Refresco, rising costs of gas and equipment tariffs, and uncertainty surrounding the industry have led some grape growers to consider abandoning the operations. We can't let that happen. This is so vital, not just to farmers and their families, but to the whole region. Schumer turned to the crowd gathered behind him on Monday and pledged to use the power of his office as Democratic leader of the U.S. Senate to influence the USDA to purchase the grapes produced in Western New York. The USDA buying more grapes is a win-win-win. It's a win for our farmers, it's a win for our hungry families, and it's a win for upstate New York economy. We're going to win this fight, Schumer said. According to Cornell Cooperative Extension, Chautauqua County is the leading grape-producing county in the state and the largest grape-growing county in the nation outside of California. Every year, about 800 growers produce 150,000 tons or more of grapes, or more than 22,000 acres on the Lake Erie Plain across western New York and the northern Pennsylvania. The Lake Erie Grape Belt region supports approximately 2,000 jobs, contributes upwards of $300 million in economic impact, and supports a fruit and vegetable processing industry that employs over 5,000 workers. Schumer touted his past successes with dairy farming and specialty crops upon support when he spoke to grape farmers on Monday. He turned to the crowd behind him and said, "I believe in our farmers, I really do. I will continue to fight for you because it's a very important industry for New York and America." Schumer was not alone in his stance. U.S. Senator Kristen Gillibrand also called on the USDA to initiate a bonus buy of Concord grape products from producers in the Lake Erie Grape Belt and New York's Niagara region. In a statement released on Monday, Gillibrand said, "Given current market conditions, now would be an opportune time for AMS to purchase Concord grape juice. AMS bonus buys have shown to be a successful tool in stabilizing the market, reducing carryover inventory, and providing fresh juice to school children and families alike. Without USDA intervention, grape producers and local economies alike will be severely harmed." Local leaders in the industry also spoke on Monday, including Bob Patterson, president of Chautauqua County Farm Bureau, and president of Westfield Maid Cooperative Incorporation, Dr. Terry Bates, director of Cornell Lake Erie Research and Extension Lab, Wendy Oaks, Wilson, New York Wine and Grape Foundation Board Chair, Fred Johnson, Chautauqua County Legislator, and Chad Schofield, owner of Schofield Farms, LLC, Westfield Ag and Turf, Affinity Agriculture, LLC, and Repurposed Organics, LLC. Schumer concluded his comments on Monday afternoon with a direct statement about the grape farming industry in Western New York as a whole. We've got to keep this industry going. We've got to keep it strong, Schumer said. This is an industry that has survived. It's not like some of the industries that have left. They've stuck with us, and we've got to stick with them. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from Dunkirk Observer of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Nominations being accepted for Ability Awareness Awards. Every year, people with disabilities in Chautauqua County make tremendous strides in their quest to lead productive, meaningful lives. And every day, they are supported in their efforts by a wide segment of the community that appreciates and values the contributions those with disabilities make. To recognize the efforts of people with disabilities and those who support them, the Resource Center holds a celebration to pay tribute to this deserving group of by presenting the Ability Awareness Awards. The public is invited to nominate people with disabilities whom they know or people and organizations from the community that have had a positive impact on the lives of those with disabling conditions. Nominations are being accepted in the following categories. Advocate of the Year, recognizing extraordinary efforts in advocating for one's own rights or the rights of other people with disabilities. Bruce Walford Community Service Award, honoring a person who demonstrates the following characteristics: a commitment to the community, selflessness, the initiative and ingenuity to forge forward and make things happen, and enthusiasm and exuberance that inspire others. This award was established in memory of the late Bruce Walford, who was the manager of TRC's Dunkirk's manufacturing facility. Community Partnership Award, given to the person, service group, or business that has provided unique opportunities and experiences to people with disabilities. Edwin Roth Mental Health Award, recognizing a person with behavioral health challenge, an advocate, an agency, a professional, or a community member that has supported efforts to improve the lives of the people with mental illness or substance abuse challenges. This award is named in memory of Ed Roth, a New York State official, Office of Mental Health official, who was a strong advocate for people with mental illness. The Elmer Munch Volunteer of the Year, honoring a person who has donated time, talent, and or expertise toward improving the quality of life for people with disabilities. Volunteer service could include interacting directly with people with disabilities, assisting with special events, or serving on a board of or committee. This award is named in memory of the late Elmer Munch of Fredonia, a longtime volunteer and advocate for people with disabilities. Health Provider of the Year, honoring an entity or professional that has enhanced the lives of people with disabilities by providing outstanding health services. Outstanding Achievement, saluting a person with a disability who has made a significant advancement in developing personal skills. Success of the Year, praising a person with a disability who has achieved his or her goals in the areas of community integration and or employment. Nominees do not have to be affiliated with the Resource Center. A selection committee composed of community volunteers will decide which nominees are most deserving of the awards. Nominations will be accepted until August 23rd. Nominating can be submitted online by visiting resourcecenter.org. Award recipients will be honored November 3rd at the Resource Center's 37th Ability Awareness Awards celebration at the White Inn in Fredonia. Trump orders Pentagon to scale back joint exercises with South Korea. President Donald Trump ordered the Pentagon on Sunday to scale back annual military exercises with South Korea, saying the ally declined to help them with the war against Iran and citing his good relationship with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Trump said in a social media post that the exercises, which began Monday, are not only costly but send a signal that is totally inappropriate and hostile to North Korea, which he said has been unthreatening and respectful during his time in the White House. Therefore, and based on the fact that it's too late to cancel, I have instructed Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to substantially reduce the joint military exercise, Trump wrote. The president added they recently asked South Korea president if they would join the U.S. in the denuclearization of Iran, and they said, no thanks. The move is the latest example of president appearing to turn against an ally in favor of a leader that previous administrations have cast as an adversary. Trump and others in his administration have also rallied against NATO allies over perceived lack of support for his war against Iran, even as they seek to confront an increasingly aggressive Russia in the Baltic region. It is also a sharp turnaround from how administration has viewed South Korea in recent months. In May, Hegseth praised the longtime ally for its commitment to increase defense spending and its leadership in assuming primary responsibility for security of the Korean Peninsula during a meeting at the Pentagon. It demonstrates alliance burden sharing that all of America partners would do well to follow, the Defense Secretary added. What the U.S. military says about the joint exercises. The 11 days of exercises involving 18,000 South Korean soldiers were designed to beef up readiness against North Korean threats. The U.S. military has the summertime Olchi Freedom Shield. Exercises reinforce the role of the alliance as the linchpin for regional peace and security and reaffirm the ironclad commitment between the United States and the Republic of Korea to defend their homelands. The exercises are one of the two main combined drills conducted by South Korean and U.S. militaries annually, along with their springtime training. From the opinion page, People's Column, reason for Trump's shaky ground. There are reasons to dislike President Donald Trump. Some include waged war without congressional approval, blocked release of Epstein files, destroyed East Wing, committed murder on the high seas, pardoned 1,600 convicted criminals, litigated frivolous revenge lawsuits, tariffed and alienated most of our allies, abused and killed U.S. citizens by way of his ICE army. These are just a few of the reasons many Americans have come to despise Trump and the dreadful GOP. When the midterms roll around, Trump will start hearing the word no from the victorious Democrats. When faced with this harsh reality, he will soon resign his office and bundle up his billions of dollars. Then he'll run away to a country that won't extradite him back here to face his crimes. And if it doesn't happen through the midterms, maybe Trump's demise will take place when enough Americans rise up and take our country back. Our Declaration of Independence tells us we have the right and the duty to abolish or to alter any government that does not secure our inalienable rights. This next election may very well be the most significant in our lifetimes. Dennis Reagan, former Gowanda resident in Pittsburgh. You have been listening to a reading of articles and features from current issues of the Dunkirk Observer. We read from the Dunkirk Observer every Saturday at noon. Your reader has been P. Fitz with the last vestiges of a cold. Thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have a reading of our Northtown B papers, which includes Amherst, Clarence, Cheektowaga, Depew, and Lancaster. At 2 o'clock, we have our Southtown papers, which is the Orchard Park B, East Aurora B, West Seneca B, and Hamburg Sun. Following that, 3 o'clock is the Ampole Eagle. Stay with us. Thank you. following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading